This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sometimes in life, things have unintended consequences. And I think that one of the unintended consequences that has happened from the legalization and I would say popularization of sports gambling is you have more and more stories that are popping up of basketball players who have been fixing games in some capacity. This is probably the third or fourth story. Now, I don't want to make it seem like it's some rampant problem in the NBA, but I also think that basketball is the easiest sport to potentially manipulate. It's really hard, I would say, in the National Football League at certain positions, and with the way that sports gambling is, it's not necessarily that hard in a basketball game. So right now, the player in question is Malik Beasley, and now going back and seeing some of the videos, it is obvious that he was involved in point shaving in some capacity. Have you seen the video of at the end of the game against the Clippers when they're down 8 and the spread is 7.5, how it's 5 seconds left on the clock? They inbound the ball to him, and for no reason, he just sprints down and tries to get a layup right before the buzzer. Usually when they inbound you the ball in that scenario and you have no chance to win, you just start dribbling out the clock, you dap up everybody, and that's the end of the game. No, he gets it and goes coast to coast like Tyus Edney in the NCAA tournament, and the Timberwolves still lose the game but cover the spread. I think basketball has a real problem on their hands, and some of it you will be unable to fix. Like, that is a situation in terms of the point spread. I don't really know if there's anything that the NBA can do directly to stop a player from being involved in that. But, and this is something that, Rob, you and I have said from the very, very beginning, if the NBA wants to be more proactive, or college basketball wants to be more proactive when it comes to this, is you have to eliminate the unders. You have to eliminate them. One of the games in question, Malik Beasley's over-under was 2.5 rebounds. All you have to do is make the decision, I'm not going to go get this rebound. Maybe you box out, you let a teammate get it, whatever. I'm just not going to get a rebound. If your over-under is 1.5 threes, well, I'm just not going to take a lot of threes today. Sure, I'll hit my one, but if I got another one, I'll do a quick drive in, I'll shoot a long two, and we'll be good from there. It's too easy to manipulate over-under player props if they're going to do it this way. So I think that's step number one. If the league is hellbent on trying to keep its integrity, A, you need to continue to create a sizable penalty. Hey, if we find you doing this, you're done. There is no coming back. Jonte will never play in the league again. I don't think Malik Beasley will ever play in the league again. He's a free agent this offseason. He was in the middle of negotiating a three-year, $24 million deal. Now he's going to be playing in Shanghai. So that's a real penalty. Hey, if we catch you guys doing this, with all the fail-safes that we have in place, we will catch you, we will find you, we will suspend you. But another thing that the NBA needs to do, if they're really serious about this, you have to change the way that you do player props. You cannot allow for over-unders. It's too easy to manipulate. My over-under for the day is 28.5 points. Sure, I'll get my points. I'll score 25. I'll score 26. And then I'll just pass the rest of the game. It's just too easy. And if you give humans the temptation, sure, a lot of people won't take it because they're not going to risk their 7, 8, 9-figure jobs. But we see that a lot of people will bite the forbidden fruit, so to speak. So I'll be very curious to see how this investigation concludes itself. Just based on the small evidence that I've seen, there is no question in my mind that Malik Beasley was engaged in point shaving. If you see this video I'm talking about, and now that you know what he is being accused of, I don't know how you can take that video any other way than he had his team plus the points on the point spread. That's the only logical conclusion you can come from watching the way he handled the end of the game. He then scored 7 points in the final minutes of the game. He was doing everything in his power to make sure that his team lost by 8 or less points. So let's see what the NBA does, but I believe they are about to make a very, very quick example of Malik Beasley, and I think he's done playing in the NBA.
I mean, I think he's done in the NBA too. I also would say on top of the eliminate unders, and it would suck for our job, maybe not literally in the NBA, but it would suck for our job. You got to wait till later in the day if you're going to have player props to release them. Like, football, you're right, is different. We get the player props on, like, Thursday for a Sunday game. Will Travis Kelce have more than 87 yards? You know, like, it's hard to manipulate a little bit there. NBA player props, right now, I mean, there's no NBA games, but you can look in the morning for a West Coast game. If you're Malik Beasley and you're playing the West Coast, you can wake up in the morning and know exactly what the number is. I think you got to tighten that up. Yes, there will always be a chance where the players can find out the number. I'm not saying they're just living in a bubble, but you got to make it so they're already at the arena, or that you got to do something to tighten that up. Because if you wake up and you're having an off day in the NBA and you open FanDuel or DraftKings and you see, hey, tomorrow my over under is 14.5, you now have too much time on your hands to be tempted by that. I think they need to eliminate unders, and they need to last minute release these, you know, player props, so that it's basically, hey, fans, as opposed to a player sitting in the locker room. Because I'm betting Malik Beasley is in his hotel room more often than not.
I also think that a lot of people need to kind of point to the system is working. Like, the system is in place in all of these fail safes to be able to eventually track and find the players that are doing this. I think it now just shows us that players have probably been doing this for a while. We just didn't really have all of the fail safes and plans in place in order to actually catch them. But the money has always been too big, and now the temptation is too great. It's easier to bet on this stuff than before. Now that you've made it legal, and now that you can do it right there on your phone, you used to either have to kind of call a bookie or do an offshore, or actually have to physically be at a window and be able to place that bet. You don't need to do that anymore. You can wire your friend $10,000. Hey, take the under for me on threes. It's 2.5. I'll hit 2 threes today and we'll cash and we'll split the money. And hey, this is the thing between me and you. It's a way for you to make a little extra cash, and we can just do it like that. I believe that's probably always been happening in the NBA, always been happening in basketball, because again, it's too easy to manipulate it. But now, as gambling culture has grown and grown and grown, I think you are starting to see that some players are falling to the traps of it. So you caught one player in Jonte, that another player that was an open and shut case, Johnson. I don't really know how you can come to any other conclusion than he was point shaving, and he was federally tried and convicted for point shaving. I think we are going to see the exact same thing happen with Malik Beasley. You did it. So let's see how the NBA combats this, because there already is, I would say, some consumer doubt when it comes to your product in the NBA. You've had an officiating scandal in years past, and now two players in a very short period of time have been accused of point shaving, match fixing, however you want to say it. But the evidence, I think, is right there to convict both players of what they're being accused of. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City. Keep it right here. So Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. He will be on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. And you know what? I'm going to try to be as positive as I can in this segment because I am a positive individual. I shouldn't be C-dot anymore. I should be positivity dot because that's what I am when it comes to the Royals. In fact, I don't know anyone in the city more positive about the Royals than I am. But I want to give you guys the cold hard facts. The Royals are 13.5 games back in their division. If you are looking at the wild card as their own division now, let's go ahead and scratch the American League Central. They cannot win the American League Central. Let's look at the wild card standings. Well, if you look at the wild card standings, the Seattle Mariners have the third and final spot. The Royals are seventh place in that competition. Seattle has the final wild card spot. The Angels are two back. The Rangers are 2.5, same as the Guardians. Boston's 3. The Minnesota Twins are 3.5 games. And then, oh, down there, waving up, are the Kansas City Royals. They're 4.5 games out of the wild card. Now, maybe you could just catch Seattle, but you also got to pass all of these other teams in order to get the wild card. Now, I know what some other sports hosts might tell you, but I'm here to think logically and realistically. The Royals are not making the playoffs, and they're not in the playoff conversation, so you need to maneuver as such. I know we didn't want to be in this spot, and we spent the first 50 days talking about how the Royals could be buyers. That time has ended. The Royals should not be buyers at the deadline. They should not consider being buyers at the deadline. The Royals should be sellers. The Royals should be looking to trade some of their more valuable assets that maybe they don't see a part of their long-term plan and see them as ways to bolster the 2026 Royals and beyond. Chris Bubich, let's start talking about if you're a part of this team long-term plans. Seth Lugo, he's been the name that's been floated out there the most. Is he going to be a viable trade option for the Royals? But you just got to be realistic. The Royals are currently with an 8-17 month. We'll see what happens later today, but this month has been disastrous for the Royals. Again, they're 13.5 games out of the division. They're 4.5 games back of the third wild card spot. They are behind 6 teams for that. You are not in the playoff picture. You cannot view yourself as being in the playoff picture. You are not one bat away from potentially getting back in this thing. You need to start thinking ahead. And need to start thinking about how can we salvage the rest of this season? And A, how can you best, or B, how can you best prepare yourself for 2026? We know that Jack Caglione's going to be an opening day starter. All right, we got him. But we need to go pick up a significant bat or possibly two to help round out the worst offense in Major League Baseball. So I want to play a couple of cuts for you guys. Let's start with John Morosi of MLB Network. Here he is talking about how the Royals are open to trading Chris Bubich.
I don't think Bubich is going to get traded, but I will say this. The Royals have lost 4 in a row. Their pitching overall is quite good. Bubich, importantly, is under control for one more year at a very reasonable number, okay? So my general statement is this. There should be at least as much conversation surrounding this possibility as there was for Tarek Skubal a year ago, because Bubich is actually closer to free agency now than Skubal was at this time last year. And obviously we know Skubal stayed put. There is, of course, this alternate universe whereby the Orioles traded for Skubal, won the World Series, and Brandon Hyde is still their manager. But that is not the reality that we're dealing with right now. Bubich, for me, you look at the Royals and their lack of supporting offense in terms of offensive depth, while I believe, again, I do not think he's going to get traded, but this is something I would say put a pin in this conversation and circle back in a month. And if the Royals can get two impactful young bats, I do think it's something you would have to at least consider given how much of a struggle it's been for them to score runs. And again, having lost 4 straight now under 500, I just bumped the camera. I would say that it's going to be an unlikely situation, but one that we should watch.
So that was John Morosi. I don't think the Royals are trading Chris Bubich either. I think next year, a couple of moves, the Royals are right back in this conversation. The wild card picture kind of is designed to keep you in the conversation. I don't think they're trading Bubich. But if the Royals are going to improve their offense, they are going to need to do one of these things. Spend money. Impact bats cost. Just like in football, when the Chiefs were looking for a free agent left tackle, they ain't cheap. Every team in the NFL is looking for a impact left tackle. You spent $21 million guaranteed on a player who made 5 starts last year. That's what it cost. So if you're looking to improve your offense and pick up an impact bat, certainly in the outfield, you need to acknowledge that it's not going to be cheap. Or the Royals need to significantly win a trade. When the Royals traded Zach Greinke, look at what they got in return. You got Alcides Escobar. You got Lorenzo Cain. You got a foundation that you use to turn around and compete for a World Series and ultimately win one. You either need to significantly win a trade. You trade Lugo, and then 2 years from now, we think, oh boy, look at what they got in return for Lugo. You trade Bubich, and yes, maybe it hurts in the short term, but then you turn around and those 2 or 3 pieces that you potentially get end up being cornerstone players for your offense moving forward. Those are the 2 options. You either need to spend money this offseason, which you didn't do in the outfield, and you're saying, hey, we tried, but the guys weren't available. All right. Or then you need to significantly win a trade. And right now, you have a depth when it comes to starting pitching. The Royals have a depth. And there are some teams that maybe have a bat that they can spare with, but they have a deficit when it comes to that. Good old supply and demand. You got what I need. I got what you need. Let's do something. This can be a move that benefits both of us. But the Royals, in order to improve their offense, are likely going to need to do something drastic. They have a drastic problem. They're the worst offensive team in baseball. They're dead last. They have a drastic problem. So you're probably going to have to come up with a drastic solution to get yourself out of it. I want to play one more cut for you guys. This is Vern. He was on the morning show earlier today. He says the front office is to blame for their problems.
Yeah, the coaches, no doubt, are to blame. The players, to me, receive the lion's share of the blame. They're the ones walking up to the plate with one hand wrapped around their throat every single time. But now I'm starting to put the pressure or my focus on the front office and on ownership to get this thing right, if not for the final 3 months of the season, but for 2026. So it's going to be interesting. Trade deadline 4 weeks from Thursday.
So we are rapidly approaching when it comes to the trade deadline. Now, we'll start to really heat these conversations up once we get past the 4th of July, once we get past the All-Star break, and that's when you'll start to see some moves happen. But, I mean, worst case scenario has happened. The Royals are out of it. The Royals are out of it. You're a under 500 team at home. You're an under 500 team on the road. You're dead last in offense. I don't care about the third wild card. And yeah, if they could get, no. We've seen almost 90 Royals games this year. They're not in it. There's seven teams in Major League Baseball under 500. They're one of those teams. They're not in it. And that's okay. We thought this year was going to be one way. It hasn't gone that way. That's sports. That happens. It's no use crying over 2025. In some ways, that's gone. How do the Royals position themselves in 2026 with what feels like a very good foundation, what feels like a solid roster? How do they get themselves back on track, especially offensively? How do you get yourself back to being the 17th ranked offense? If you were the 17th ranked offense, you probably make the postseason with the pitching that you have. Maybe you have Bubich next year. You have Cole Reagans next year. You got Noah Cameron next year. Waka. You've got a foundation of four or five guys that you can still go out there and be very viable with when it comes to your starting pitching. But if you want to trade or you want to fix a drastic problem, you're probably going to have to come up with a potentially drastic solution for it. So either A, trade Lugo, trade Chris Bubich, or you're probably going to have to pony up a little bit and spend in a way that makes you uncomfortable, but potentially solves right now what is your biggest problem is. You don't have enough bats. Coming up on the other side at the bottom of the hour, we are going to be joined by Mayor Quentin Lucas. He is the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. Last week, we saw Mark Donovan wrote a letter to the residents of the Kansas City metro area. We will go through that letter with the mayor next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on 96.5 The Fan. We are waiting for the mayor of Kansas City to call in. Mayor Quentin Lucas is scheduled to be on the show here coming up shortly. Why we have the mayor coming up on the show? Well, you guys probably know by now that the state of Kansas, they are going to extend the STAR bonds. And there was a letter that was released from Mark Donovan to Ty Masterson. I'm going to play for you some cuts here coming up in a bit. He is the president of the Senate in the state of Kansas. Now, I think there's two separate ways to read the letter. You can look at it through the Kansas perspective as a very, very positive sign that the momentum is pushing towards the Chiefs building a new stadium in the state of Kansas. Or you can look at it from the Missouri side, and I imagine that's what Mayor Quentin Lucas is going to say whenever he calls in. The letter doesn't give a commitment. The letter doesn't give a timetable. It just simply says that they've been having good conversations and they just want more time to continue to talk. Now, it's business. I imagine that the Chiefs are talking to Kansas, they're talking to Missouri, and they are trying to figure out the best thing for them as an organization and as a business. So we're going to talk to the mayor of Kansas City, find out about those conversations, and get his reaction to the letter. We had Ty Masterson, who is the president of the Kansas Senate. We had him on the show, and here's what he said that the state of Kansas can offer that Missouri can't.
We've had multiple politicians on the other side of state line, and in some ways they've kind of tried to poke holes in you guys' offer. There's a lot of people right now that are listening that are on your side of state line that are in Kansas. Can you explain the offer and what makes this the better offer for them compared to what the teams are being offered from Missouri?
Yeah, sure. I mean, because Kansas's offer is actually relatively simple, right? These what we call STAR bonds. So that's, you know, sales tax backed revenues. So it takes an area. So it has to be around growth. So you would just draw an area around where the stadium would be built, and any increase in sales tax revenues can go to pay bonds, right, that build the stadium. So that's what's the beautiful thing about the Kansas offer, because that can cover up to 70% of the stadium costs, and we didn't have to raise a single tax. So it's all developed on growth. And I know, see, Missouri, they don't have that same type of tool in the toolbox, and they're having to give up, well, tens of millions of current revenues into their coffers to make that happen, and they still can't get to the same level of coverage that Kansas has.
So that was Ty Masterson, who joined us on the show Friday. Today, we are joined by the mayor of Kansas City. Mayor Quentin Lucas joins us on the show. Mayor Q, happy to have you join us today.
It is great to be with you. Always good to hear from, senators from Wichita about what's good for the KC area.
So there's a lot to get into. Let's just start with this. What was your reaction to the letter? I'm sure by now you've read it. You probably read it multiple times. What was your reaction to the letter from Mark Donovan of the Chiefs?
You know, here's the thing. I think, and I talked to some people as soon as it came out, it is a letter that doesn't really have any real impact, change any laws, any things, and certainly isn't a deal. I'm probably most frustrated that it keeps us a status quo for even longer. I think you, your listeners, everybody on whatever side of the state line is most interested in us being on, moving on from this conversation. We have been at this for quite some time. I think the teams understand the opportunities they have. I think people are tired of the chest puffing, the puffery, all of the back and forth, all of the conversation about who's redirecting more taxpayer dollars than the others, and just wants to get to a final answer. And so what Kansas City, Missouri was ready for was by today, June 30th, to have that final answer. We have done, I think, a wonderful job of getting information in front of the teams, particularly for Kansas City, in front of the Royals. Jackson County tends to handle most of the Chiefs' conversation in connection with what we can do. And I think that's where we go from there. But, you know, per what you just heard in the interview, Kansas City and the state of Missouri have the same tax redirection opportunity, right? It's the same sales tax abatements. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, the deals aren't actually that different, and the deals aren't that different here versus in California versus lots of other places. I think the decision needs to come down to where do the teams think that they can plant their flag for the greatest success for their team in the future. It is my personal view that the Royals have been running around talking about downtown for the last 3 to 4 years. Downtown is one place. It's one place that has access to public transportation, hotels. It's on the cover of magazines all around the country. It is a place where you can get to $3 million attendees every year. And I think the Chiefs have been talking about the history and the legacy of Arrowhead Stadium. I'm not going to get into a long debate either with you, a caller, Ty Masterson, or anyone about, yeah, who can redirect more taxpayer dollars. After a while, even I start to think that becomes fiscally irresponsible. We should be talking about building schools, bridges, healthcare, et cetera, not necessarily just giving away all the taxpayer dollars to teams. I think we've come up with a fair and responsible offer in Kansas City, and I think that's the sort of thing that will eventually win the day.
Why do you think there has been such a delay, at least with the Royals? And I understand that your negotiations have been more with the Royals than they have been with the Chiefs. And we'll talk about the Chiefs, the football portion of this. But, I mean, you call this an unprecedented offer that the city of Kansas City has offered the Royals. Why do you think they've been hesitant to just accept the offer and move forward with the state of Missouri?
You know, I'll say this. My friends at the Kansas City Royals have an important generational decision to make. And depending on what the Chiefs do, the Royals' decision may be the one that, frankly, puts more private investment on the line, right? They have real decisions to make. They have made clear that they're leaving Kauffman Stadium. They have made clear that in leaving Kauffman Stadium, they're looking for a whole new facility, which would have a substantial private investment in a true public-private partnership. I respect that. I respect the challenge that that entails. I respect the fact that they need to make sure they're looking through the financials, the real estate transactions, and others. And so I understand the why for the time, but I do think at a certain point, we have shown, I think, what is unique, what is creative for our jurisdiction. And as a guy who was standing at the Kansas City International Airport today, and I was on the city council when we were debating it, and I've been mayor as we built it and opened it on time and on budget, under budget, as a matter of fact. And what I've been able to see from all of those, CPKC Stadium, the Riverfront Stadium for soccer, add that too. Kansas City, Missouri does big projects. We do big, giant projects basically every year. Stadiums are in our wheelhouse. This isn't a new speculative transaction. This isn't looking for the sale of bonds beyond the sale of bonds ever in the past by a certain state in our jurisdiction. This is something that is doable, that is basic, that has the interest of city administration, and frankly has strong political support over here. And frankly, to a person, when you walk the streets of this region, and I was at the Overland Park Farmers Market this weekend, as it turns out, when you talk to people throughout the region, almost all of them say, yeah, downtown would be cool. If they're going to leave Kauffman Stadium, a downtown ballpark is something that would work for our region, something that is interesting and something that's unique. That's why we're making sure we get them all the information they can need to make that right decision.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, talking to him about the letter from Mark Donovan that was released last week. This was my view on the letter. To me, it felt like a matter of perspective. Rob is a born and bred Kansan. He went to high school in Kansas, went to college in Kansas, works in Kansas, lives in Kansas. I think it was the most optimistic sort of piece that we've had of, hey, the Chiefs are seriously considering a new stadium, and that's where they are leaning. I think if you're on the Missouri side, the letter just didn't really say anything. All it says is we've been having conversations, and no part in that letter did the Chiefs give any level of commitment. Is that kind of how you read the letter, like a matter of interpretation? Anybody can interpret that letter for what they wanted to interpret.
I think that's probably true. I mean, and I'll say first off, I consider Mark Donovan a friend. I hope he does the same for me, but he's a businessman. And I think what you saw was a business letter that went out that said we are very seriously evaluating our offers and our opportunities, and we'd like more time to consider. Full stop. That's really what it says. You know, I don't think that it says that they're, you know, cutting off all Missouri locations. Indeed, it literally did not say that. It did not say that, you know, we are signing something next week. What it said was, we want to make sure that as we look at this transformative project, and it would be a big old project too, but that they are going to make sure that they, you know, look through all the necessary steps, that they make sure they're talking to all the right people as they make that decision. I think that's the entirety of it. And what I would say is this, had this letter been sent on, you know, to someone in Kansas City, Missouri, then I would have seen it the same way. This has been a long process. I have been, sometimes on the upside one week, maybe not on the upside another. We've had people reach out to us and say, hey, yeah, we'd like to learn more. We've had people that have said, you know what, we think it's going this way. You realize that you're in an ongoing negotiation. That's what happens. And I would not be reading the tea leaves for what comes next out of these sorts of things that at their core are basically saying we are going to continue to talk.
I do have this question. I'm curious, kind of get your perspective on it. I've been calling this kind of a heart versus head thing, just looking at it and trying to be objective. I mean, one side is offering a brand new state-of-the-art stadium like SoFi and Allegiant, a brand new practice facility, hotels and shops around it, while one side is just simply offering a fresh coat of paint to an old stadium that we all feel a closeness to. I guess in that conversation, how do you guys compete with, you guys are not offering a new stadium to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas is offering that. And even you have to admit, that is a very attractive offer that Kansas is planning on building them, maybe the nicest football stadium in America.
You know, I think a few things that I respond to with that, first of all, something that hasn't been discussed yet, but the Chiefs can build a new stadium in Missouri, too. That is actually an opportunity and a possibility. People aren't talking about either tearing down Arrowhead or looking to find space elsewhere in the metro, but that remains a very clear opportunity, and it's one that the Chiefs could employ and evaluate in the same way that the Royals are evaluating a brand new stadium. And with the way that these deals are working out, when you add both local government commitment in Kansas City or on the Missouri side, which can get to, I think, $400 to $500 million, plus what the state of Missouri is contributing, you actually get very close to a Kansas offer, if not a little better, because your sources of funds are vastly more guaranteed than, not to be too nerdy, a dream of $1.7 billion with no government backing, that nobody knows how the heck it would be sold or purchased on the market in some sort of way. So that's maybe one narrow part. I think another part, though, of what I say is this. I've been to a lot of games. Some people bash me for going to too many games and being too much of a fan. My favorite venues to watch games, honestly, for football, have been Lambeau Field, when the Chiefs played at the Packers. We lost, but it was a hell of an experience. And frankly, going to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore to see the Chiefs typically win. Two exceptional outdoor facilities. And the Baltimore Ravens very recently had this same set of decisions, and what they elected to do was to renovate this place because it has a wonderful fan environment, because they have had exceptional home field advantage, and it is a special place to be and to watch football. Getting into the cycle of building a new stadium or dome every 20 years or 25 years, I don't think is the win. Carrington, you grew up in Kansas City, and so did I, and people from St. Louis were puffing their chests in the mid-1990s because they had a brand new incredible dome, the Edward Jones Dome, the former TWA Dome, home of the Rams. It has no football team now, and if you walked into it now, you'd be kind of saying, huh, wow, that wasn't nearly as interesting as even at that point, the 25-year-older Arrowhead Stadium. So I am not one who says that a brand new dome and throwing up some shopping and retail next to it that does not stand the test of time is the best option. you have the opportunity, if you stick with Arrowhead, you can do lots of things in terms of redevelopment in the area, particularly because it's going to be based around activities at the stadium itself. Lambeau Field is your best example. You can always build new in Missouri if you really wanted to. But I will be biased as a Chiefs fan, and this probably is a little bit of heart, but I think it's head too, because you save yourself a few billion dollars in the transaction of saying, if you've got the best home field advantage, if you've got a stadium that people are making Hallmark movies off of, if you've got the FIFA World Cup actually at your stadium, so this global body for soccer says your stadium is actually exceptional, meets all of our standards, is one of the best places in America to watch soccer, you're saying you're just going to tear it down for the fad of the day? Kansas City's been smart because we weren't hopping on the fads of the day. Our stadiums never have, and that's why I still think the Chiefs are going to stick with Arrowhead Stadium long term.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas, here for a couple more minutes, just getting his thoughts on the letter from Mark Donovan. I don't know if you're a betting man or such. I am from time to time. Which team do you think jumps first? Because I'm not guessing that these two teams are making a joint announcement. One team makes an announcement before the other when they are not tied together the way that they have been basically since the creation of the Truman Sports Complex. Which team do you think jumps first?
I think the reality of how things go is that the Royals have, I think, a more aggressive timetable for, and this is just Quentin talking. This isn't what anybody's talked to me about or anything like that. If the Royals, the Chiefs can stay at the Truman Sports Complex for a while because they've already kind of shown that, all right, yeah, this is something that we can take the time to figure out and what have you. I think the Royals want a downtown stadium. I think that's something a different stadium. I think that's something that has been important to ownership. That's something they've shared broadly with the public. And the lease runs out in 2031, and you need time to do construction. And so I continue to believe that I think baseball is the decision that's made first. I think that there is a lot of merit to that if they're looking for a new facility. Right now, all of our jurisdictions, at least the ones that are building here in Kansas City, Missouri, and over in Johnson County, Kansas, we have a lot of other projects going on. I won't say the money's getting spent fast, but, I think they do want to make sure that they're part of what our plans for both of our areas in terms of roads, infrastructure, and beyond. And so I think that is where you see that move happen first. I think the Chiefs, even from the nature of what they would look to build, is going to be largely similar to what they're doing now. It would either be a stadium that is in a parking lot currently or a dome that perhaps is in a parking lot. You throw some shopping around to kind of like the Legends. I do think that one issue that starts to arise, though, is, how much of the same thing do you build in one area? And that starts to become the Legends conversation, which is that you already have, and by the way, for those who wonder, your biggest tax generator over in Wyandotte County by the soccer stadium and the Speedway is actually Nebraska Furniture Mart. It isn't, your one-off restaurant. It isn't your one-off, this stand or that stand. It is the big furniture store that most people in the region go to and Patrick Mahomes cuts ads for. How many of those can you have and can you build in one space, right? And how much money can you get from that yoke, basically, over time, I think becomes a real question in the financing, and it is why such a deal over there isn't nearly as easy as people are saying. Let me make this one point clear, if I haven't been clear to people listening. Neither state, how about this? Kansas is not just writing a check for $2 billion that says, hey, here you go, right? There are bonds that need to be sold on what appears to be a privately owned stadium. You'd have to go through property tax breaks and hearings in either Wyandotte County or Johnson County. You'd go through a lot of political steps. And in the way it works in Missouri, because it's a government-owned stadium, you do those steps first. There's better tax treatment for the teams. There is a surer set of monetary contributions that come. And frankly, I think you're a little more sure whether it's a downtown stadium, whether it's Arrowhead staying, or whether it's the Chiefs looking to build something new over here. So that's where I would start. But, it's an interesting chat. I just share the view that, yeah, we should be done, and we'll all continue to be Chiefs fans figuring out wherever it's going to be.
I have two final questions, and I'll get you out of here. The first question is, there is a petition to recall a certain politician. It has received enough signatures. This person has been in the middle of these negotiations. What does this mean for the negotiations if this person's job is recalled?
You know, I'm not getting into that one. All I'm going to say is this. Kansas City, Missouri has stepped up when it needed to. This conversation did not start with negotiations with the city of Kansas City. The teams are tenants of Jackson County. It went through quite a process over in Jackson County. We hope that in Kansas City, Missouri, we were able to build a more efficient process, frankly, that could work for the benefit of both teams. Certainly the Royals, who are looking to move, we think we would be an exceptional landlord, property owner for them, and team to work with, as many others have in the past, including, right, everyone who's working with CPKC Stadium now in the current. But, you know, I think that's for what we're trying to do there. And for the Chiefs, we've made clear that the types of financial terms and opportunities we can create for the Royals are the types of things we can create for the Chiefs. And we think there's a compelling offer to stay here. That being said, you know, I hope Jackson County can figure out whatever the next steps are for it.
Last thing here, I imagine that you have this friend, or you certainly did growing up, like your friend tells you that they're on the way, they live 10 minutes away, but it takes them 45 minutes ultimately to get there, and you just accept that's who they are. That's how this sorts to feel, like it's starting to feel. I'm guessing you're going to tell me that you think we're close, but we're not really close to actually getting any resolution, whether it's with the Chiefs or the Royals.
You know, look, I have to think we're getting close, and I had that friend growing up. Hell, sometimes I was that friend, because at a certain point, decisions have to be made, right? And we're going to make sure that we have all the information possible. Carrington, I have lived the range of emotions on this issue, ranging from, you know what, we've done what we're going to do, and we're just going to see what happens, to let's be more aggressive, to everything in between. I think that, you know, the reason that there is a border state battle, and by the way, the border war is back, and it's obvious on incentives, and this is clearly the sign, but, you know, the reason that both sides are on this, I think this would be such a transformative moment for downtown Kansas City, following 25 years of downtown Kansas City improving, the new arena that still is newish to a lot of us from here, the improvements, the number of people living there, that, yeah, that's why we don't stop in the conversation. And I think, in terms of the Chiefs, I think it's a difference between this exceptional home field advantage and something unique and special and being a little like everybody else. I don't think anybody wants to. So that's why I think we stay in it, but I absolutely recognize it's a chat that needs to end. And you're right, I'm not sure we're quite at the light at the end of the tunnel part yet.
That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the show today to get his reaction to the letter that we saw from Mark Donovan towards the people of Kansas City about the development progress regarding their stadium decision. Mayor Lucas, really appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you as this story continues to progress. Really appreciate your time.
All right, take care, sir. We'll see you.
Absolutely. That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the show. I didn't think he was going to give us a good answer about the Frank White thing, but that certainly is a part of this. Rob, I don't know if you're up to this, but did you know that they have received enough signatures to get Frank White out of here? They needed a certain number of signatures. They got it. They got 42,902 signatures to get him recalled from his position. Now, we'll see what that continues to mean, but he is in the middle of these conversations. Remember, we were just talking last week, an agreement was signed, an NDA that he can't comment publicly on it, but Frank White is certainly involved in the negotiations between the Chiefs and Jackson County about what to do with their stadium. I don't know if Frank White going to have a job here in the next 90, 120 days or so. So what does that mean for the negotiations? Maybe we got to ask somebody else that question, because the mayor didn't really want to answer that question, which, I mean, I get it.
This is my pure ignorance on the Jackson County political maneuverings. If he gets recalled, do they have a special vote to then make a decision off he's in or out? Do they have a special vote to replace him? Is it an appointed position?
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have the answer to that.
It feels like whatever the... I'll say it this way. It feels like whatever the answer is, it's probably there's a few more steps to it than just he's recalled, bing, bang, boom, new guy in, party on Wayne. It feels like it's going to be more of a process than I signed a petition, now we're fixed.
Someone on the text line says the mayor sound grumpy as hell. He did have a different energy today. He sounded more angry about this topic than he usually does whenever he pops on the show. I will say this, just one thing that I notice on, he continues to hammer that Kansas deal is not what you guys think that it is. That the Kansas deal does seem very, very straightforward. Hey, you take this deal, you'll get 70%. Hey, it'll be great. You'll be able to pay it off in 10 years. The Kansas deal does sound like the less stressful option. Every time he has been on the show, he has continued to stress, no, the deal is not what it seems. That is the Missouri side of this. It's just a really, really interesting. I don't know if we learned a whole lot about that, but it's just interesting to hear his thought process on it and hear him respond to the news of the day. I mean, the letter that we saw from Mark Donovan is one of the most direct things that we have seen from the Chiefs in years, right? In years we have seen. The Chiefs just don't really comment on this thing publicly. You got a 2-page letter with them essentially talking about how the conversation is going. It's great and it's going positively well in this. I thought it was a very important letter and certainly important to get people on both sides to give their comments when it comes to this. Coming up on the other side, I want to tell you guys a story about how I spent my Saturday. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.